Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today once again by my good friend, Mr. Vincent Forte.
Oh, what's going on?
Vin, we're back at it.
We're back into the good Star Treks.
We're back at a good one. The last one was bad.
Yep.
This one's good again.
Also, another Star Trek note, Strange New Worlds just started up again.
Did you see the first two episodes?
Yeah, first one I liked, second one I really liked.
Second one I loved.
Second one was like a courtroom drama.
Classic courtroom drama. There's a couple of those in the original series, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I'm loving Strange New Worlds.
You know what? Breaking Star Trek news today, before
uh-oh.
I came to the podcast.
Everyone, hold on to your hats.
Star Trek Prodigy got canceled at Paramount Plus.
That was the little kiddie cartoon show?
That was the children's show.
What's Jason Manzoukas going to do now?
But apparently, like, they already finished, like, they're wrapping up, like, creating season two. Hmm. So they're going to, like, shop it around. But it's like,
you have Paramount Plus. Like,
and not only did it get canceled, it's leaving Paramount Plus days from now.
I don't get that
at all. I don't get it all either. That's weird.
Yeah, that is very weird.
But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, or I guess the opposite of that.
Yeah.
All the Star Trek movies are back on Paramount Plus.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see that.
For how long, we don't know.
Who could know? Who could know? Yes, today we're talking about Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home from 1986. Directed by Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
He also directed the last one. Mm-hmm. He's back again. This is a much better film than the last one.
Yeah.
Story by Leonard Nimoy and Harve Bennett. Screenplay by Harve Bennett, Steve Meerson.
And Nicholas Meyers came in.
Peter Crakes and Nicholas Meyers, who directed part two and will direct part six. This movie's basically a comedy.
Yeah, it turned in a direction that I don't think people were expecting, but in a good way. It didn't rest on its laurels. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to do another movie where there's a threat of a guy in another ship and we're doing this like submarine back and forth. It's like, no, they start off on Vulcan because they're kind of in exile.
Right.
They rename their Klingon ship the Bounty.
Right.
And back on Earth, they're determining like, okay, like what are we going to do about these guys?
Right.
Like,
remember in the last movie, they stole the Enterprise, disobeyed orders, and then got the Enterprise exploded.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, we're going to be good boys and girls. We're going to go back to Earth and we're going to accept our court martial.
Right.
So, but they're going to do that. But at the same time, this like, inanimate carbon rod.
Yeah. Basically, it looks like a cigar.
Yeah.
A probe.
It's this weird, like cylindrical probe, which is exactly what they call it, by the way. It's like, oh, it's a cylindrical probe.
Right.
Okay, great.
With like a blue ball coming out
of it. Yeah, like an energy ball.
Yeah.
And it's basically circling Earth. And there's like a noise coming from it, and the most they can determine is like, we've got to create a noise that's like equally resonant.
Like, well, the communication that they're sending, the noise is like making the oceans fucking,
yeah, the tide is all fucked up.
Yeah, like communications are down. It's like there's like 6 hours before the Earth is destroyed just because of this weird message. That's, yeah.
So here's what,
which is kind of like part one.
Yeah. But so here's what they decide to do in a nutshell, guys. These explorers, much like the Titanic submarine people.
Oh, come on.
I know, all right.
Trying to be topical.
They decide to slingshot around the sun.
Yeah.
To go back in time. Fine. I'm cool with it. Like, I know some people nitpick it. And are like, well, you wouldn't be, it's a movie. Get over it. Like, they do something that sends them back in time so that they can get
back in time.
They've gone
back in time before.
Yeah.
They're just doing it more deliberately now.
Yeah. So they go back in time, and now they're in 1986. And
what you know, at the same year the movie was produced.
Who'd have thunk it? And from there, it's a comedy.
It's absolutely a comedy.
And
it's a bunch of weirdos fish out of water.
And it really breezes. Like, this is a 2-hour movie. Once they get to that part, it whizzes by because they do a clever thing where they break off into teams.
Yes.
And each team's got their little thing they got to do.
Yeah. And it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Like, Kirk's got a, like, he gets his love interest. He goes to the, like, marine biologist lady.
Yeah.
Who's you know who that was originally supposed to be?
Who?
Eddie Murphy.
Yes, I heard that.
Supposed to be a completely different role. But Eddie Murphy was like, I don't want that role. I want a bigger role.
I think he wanted to be a good guy, too. Yeah, or he wanted to be on the ship or whatever.
Yeah, but they're like, no, we're not going to do that. So he was like, okay, fuck this. I'm going to do Golden Child instead.
Yeah, good choice, I guess.
Yeah.
And this movie, if you know anything about this movie, you know it's about whales. This movie was at the time where, like, the big thing that people were, you know...
Save the whales, yeah, the ozone like, layer.
Yeah, that was the big thing that people up in arms about. And it was a real thing. And I sent you an article the other day that was so misleading, and its title was like, Star Trek yeah. 4 did it. because we do have more humpback whales now than we did
yeah.
at that time. I mean, Star Trek 4, I think, is part of a larger campaign of getting people to give a shit about. And also getting countries to ban whaling, which is the real thing.
Well, the big thing with this movie is that it really was such a gamble in hindsight to be like...
We have a message, but we're also a comedy.
Not even that, but like, the key to this movie is the whales.
You bet.
We need the whales. We gotta take some whales back with us so we can make harmonic noises that are going to stop this anemic carbon rod from creating waves and bullshit
right. destroying because the earth. Nobody understands what the message is that's destroying the earth. But Spock is like, that sounds interesting. And Spock, on a hunch, is like, I think this might be a whale. And he finds out, he goes into the computer. I should say, like Vin said, because the Enterprise explodes, in this entire movie, they're on a Klingon ship.
Right.
That they stole from Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
So they go on the computer of the Klingon ship and they're like, oh, humpback whales, they became extinct in the 21st century.
Well, the other thing that this movie does really well is it kind of doesn't give a fuck about like, oh, if we do this, it's going to ruin the timeline. Like there's a whole scene where they kind of address that where
there's two bootstrap paradoxes in it.
Yeah. One, the big one, the huge one is they bring this woman back to.
Right.
Back to the present day with them.
Well, in terms of a bootstrap paradox, which is like...
Oh, the thing that causes...
Right. What's the cause of the thing? Like, the classic one would be like, if Marty McFly's parents name him after their friend Marty, where did the name actually come from?
Right. Like, in this one, the big one that says that to me is Scotty giving the guy the formula for... the titanium alloy.
Yeah.
And even Bones is like, well, why are you just gonna get it? Like, we don't know who creates it. He's like, maybe it's this guy.
Right.
Like, I like how loose they go. They're like, well, maybe this guy invents it.
Yeah.
Here, want to know what this is? Like,
they get to Earth and they're like, we need money. We don't have money because we live in a Marxist utopia. Yeah. And they're like, how do we get money? Okay, so they go to a pawn shop. And in Star Trek 2, for his birthday, Bones gives Kirk like these old-fashioned mm-hmm. glasses. And he sells them. And Spock is like, if you sell them, aren't those the glasses that Dr. McCoy gave you? And he's like, yeah, but the good thing is he's still going to give it to me.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, okay, like it... That's a bootstrap paradox. They don't really care that much. Time travel story in the sense that time... All the jokes are about time travel, but it's not a time travel story like the fucking... The Looper great film The Flash is.
Like the great yeah.
success of The Flash. There's no one's worried about...
Kirk is not throwing babies in microwaves.
Yeah, nobody... They're really not worrying that much about how much they stand out.
Right.
They try. Kirk is like everyone... Let's also be cool, but immediately everyone's fucking being weird.
And then, of course, there's that great scene on the bus that the punk rocker, he's like, won't shut his fucking radio off.
Yeah.
And then, like, Spock is giving the Vulcan nerve pinch, and the whole place erupts and claps.
Yeah. Didn't that guy reappear?
He reappeared in Picard season 2, and they basically redid the joke.
That's fantastic. That guy, you know who that guy is?
He's like he works on the crew.
Well, he does production design, but he's also like a Muppeteer.
Oh.
He directed the Muppet Haunted Mansion. He directed all the Muppet Now Disney Plus show. He does a lot of work with Muppets. And I guess he was working on this movie.
And they were just like, you want to be in it?
Yeah, you want to be the punk? That was a big cliche in the 80s, the punk, right? Like,
yeah.
Think about how many 80s movies were like they run afoul of like some punks. Maybe they've all got mohawks. Yeah. It happens in Terminator, right? The first people he meets are punks, and he steals their clothes. I believe Jason Voorhees runs into some punks in New York City. So this movie has a new score again, and by a new composer again. It's by Leonard Rosenman. I kind of like it. It's upbeat and jaunty. Good. I like this score. By the way, you know, Shatner was supposed to direct this movie, but he didn't because he was doing T.J. Hooker. So they let Nimoy do it. But
gave him the next one.
Yeah, but I read this on IMDb. Have you ever heard of a favored nation contract?
Yes, that's a very famous thing. He had Shatner had a favored nations clause in his contract, going back to the first movie, where basically whatever Nimoy gets, Shatner also has to get. So if the fourth movie comes around, Nimoy gets a pay raise. Shatner's got to at least get that same pay raise, if not more.
Right, right.
So,
he gets the direct one? I got a direct one.
Exactly. So Nimoy gets the direct one? Okay, well, now I got a direct one.
Right, right. Which is, doesn't that say it all? This movie, by the way, is technically the third in the Genesis trilogy.
Yeah, this wraps up that arc.
It does, but on a story level, it isn't. I mean, the arc is kind of closed in the last movie. But I think what makes this, thematically at least, the end of that trilogy is because the whole one versus many thing continues in this movie.
Yes.
Like Spock's mother, who we see for the first time since the show, says, like, you know, your friends are in trouble because they came to save you.
Right. They put the needs of the one against the needs of the many.
And she's like, and he's like, that's not logical. And it's, we should say, Spock is factory reset back to Spock in the beginning of the TV series.
Yeah, like the first 20 minutes of this movie is a lot of Bones being like, he's not all there, Jim.
Yeah, like he's not calling him Jim, he's calling him Admiral. Like
Admiral Jim.
You're right, like he doesn't, any humanness is kind of gone. Like in the beginning, they're on Vulcan, and he's taking this, like, test, and he's, like, answering all these crazy questions, and then one question is, how do you feel? And he's like, I do not understand what that means. How do I answer that question? We see our first female captain in this movie, I believe.
Right. Yeah, this movie kind of does the thing that a lot of 80s movies did, where, kind of like Beastmaster and, like, those kind of things. Or, like, Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Where the movie's bookended by the stuff you would expect.
Yeah.
And then the whole middle is like big fish out of water story.
Right, 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 right.
Although this one actually works.
Right, right, right. Savick, we've talked about Savick in the part two and part three episodes. Savick was originally played by Kirstie Alley, and then she was played by a different actress because Kirstie Alley wanted more money.
Yeah.
And this is the complete fucking over of the Savick character. She came in
She's there for like a minute.
Yeah, and literally Kirk is like, goodbye, and then they leave her on Vulcan, and supposedly there was a storyline that she was pregnant with Spock's prodigy because she fucked young Spock to help him when he was going through Ponfar in part three, but they cut that out, and she's it's literally like, okay, bye, say goodbye to the series, and it's really not fair. You know, I've read this book, Phasers on Stun, that, like, goes through every series, every movie. And the author makes this interesting point that's, like, the weird thing about all the movies is there's two things happening. There is an emphasis on this is going to be new, this is going to be next. But then also an emphasis on, no, we got to keep the old.
Yeah.
And she's the perfect example of that. She's introduced like she's going to be the new Spock. Spock is going to die and she's going to take over that kind of
character. That's like, no, we got to bring Spock back.
Right, we got to bring Spock back, and then she gets sidelined. Kirk gets a son. Oh, maybe he could be like the new Kirk. Oh, wait, no, he's dead. Okay, he's Admiral. But ultimately, we blow up the Enterprise. Right. Don't worry. In he's the end of this again. Movie, we got a new Enterprise, and he's captain again, which is what he wanted in part one. He finally, at the end of this movie, gets what he's wanted this whole series, which is to be the captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah, it's kind of the same dilemma that Picard season three has, where ultimately, I think most fans think it's a crowd pleaser. Like, I know you haven't seen it, but I think you've seen enough of, like, the buzz around
it.
But one of the main criticisms is that, like, some people feel like it's not doing enough to sort of advance Star Trek, where it's like, hey, we're doing a big Picard story. We're bringing back like the Borg, and we're doing all this other, these like callbacks and bringing back old characters. Yeah. And granted, like, that season does it very, very well. Like, it's not like they just throw it in just for fan service.
Yeah.
But we'll see if they do this new, like, rumored Star Trek Legacy series that sort of, like, takes off from that last season. Then I think, like, those criticisms might go away. Because it's like, okay, well, now you set it up. Like, you did it.
Right.
Now you're going to do a new thing. But it does echo back to what people were kind of thinking with the movies in the 80s, like you said, where it's like, we want something new, but we still like the old cast. And I think their answer at the time was to do Next Generation.
Right. At this point, when Part 4 comes out, Next Gen is happening, right? It's on or it's about to happen?
I think it's like the first season.
Okay. Okay.
Because I know by Undiscovered Country, that came out in 91. So like the series was in full swing at that point.
Right. And you have, what's his name in it?
Yes, Scotty showed up in episode like.
No, I was gonna say in the movie you have Worf's like grandfather, or whatever, played by the same actor.
Oh yeah,
is it Michael Dorn? Laura Dern.
Laura Dern shows
Worf,
up.
Worf played by Laura Dern.
That's an interesting, like, Undiscovered Country is an interesting movie because there's two things that weren't really canon that they then like put in canon. One of them is that Klingon is like Worf's.
Yeah.
Great-grandfather or whatever. And then the actor who plays Commander Tuvok in Star Trek Voyager is on the bridge of the Excelsior that Sulu is captaining in that movie. And he's not playing the same character. He's just sort of in the background. But, or no, I don't even think he's in that one. I think he's in Generations. Like, he's in one of the movies where he's, like, in the background. And then later on in an episode of Star Trek Voyager, they use that to their advantage and were like, hey, we're going to do an episode where we flash back to him on the Excelsior with Sulu. And they show, like, they completely recreate the scene from that movie where, like, Sulu sees the planet explode and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, they get some good mileage out of that.
Interesting.
That's why I think I said it before, like, when we get to six, I'm going to send you that episode because that should be part of the episode as well.
Okay.
Because that whole episode, it's literally called Flashback. They did it as part of, at that time, I think like, what, like the 30th anniversary of Star Trek or whatever, where like all the series on the air at the time did sort of a fan service-y episode. Like Deep Space Nine did the Trouble with Tribbles one.
Right.
Where they like put themselves in that episode in the background.
Right, right.
And Voyager's one was like something's going on with Tuvok's mind. And Janeway has to mind meld with him to figure out what's going on. And that takes them back to when he was on the bridge with Sulu. And like all those actors come back, like Sulu's in the episode.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, one thing I did see from this season of Picard was the cameo by, what's his name? Jimmy Pardo's father-in-law.
Oh, Walter Koenig.
Walter Koenig, you're right. Playing, who was he playing? Like a descendant of
Chekhov. He's playing Anton Chekhov, which was a nice nod to Anton Yelchin.
Who, the young man who played him, right.
And he played, Walter Koenig played like Chekhov's son, who at this point is like the president of the Federation.
Right. Yeah, that was a cool little thing. I saw that. So they do a weird thing. Almost reminds me of like Part One vibes, where when they go back in time, and they go, like, slingshot around the sun. They, like, all kind of pass out.
Yeah.
And then they're, like, in a, like, you see, like, this CG, like, these CG busts coming out of clouds, and it's faces.
Yeah, it's very, like, Roman.
Yeah, and, like, you see, like, but it's all their faces, but, like, not really detailed. And, like,
it's like if someone made, like, a cast, like, bust of it.
Right, but, like, everyone's face will turn into someone else's face.
Yeah,
it's pretty good CG for that time.
Yeah, this series like will bust out some pretty good CG. Like every movie is usually like one or two scenes where it's like, oh, this is actually like really, really good for like 1984 or whatever.
And then you hear some dialogue from later on in the movie that hasn't happened yet. And then they kind of all like, you see them all opening their eyes, like they all were like asleep or something. It's an interesting little weird thing. So their plan is, they've got to find whales because right. a whale has to answer this probe, and then the probe will stop asking.
Right.
Whatever it is it's asking. Actually, the studio wanted subtitles, and Nimoy was like, "No, like let's leave it a let's leave it a mystery of what they were asking and what they wanted."
Right.
Because it also is like Nimoy or Spock says, perhaps they communicated with the whales, and when the whales stopped communicating back, they're coming to see what happened. Meaning what?
Yeah.
Our humpback whales were always communicating with an alien species from far away.
It's like the dolphins.
That's Star Trek for you, baby.
In a Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So they're here on Earth, and we're ready to have some fun. Let's see. Bones and Scotty, their job is to go to a factory that makes... Like, well, their job mainly is they have to build a tank.
Right. They got to build a tank to house these fucking whales.
Two whales on the Klingon ship.
Yes.
So they've got to go to like a factory and where they make like some kind of like plexiglass.
Yeah.
And basically, like you said, they give that guy the formula to make
titanium aluminum alloy.
Right. Which is
a thing in Star Trek.
Transparent. Like, yeah.
Transparent aluminum alloy, which is what we learn later on in Next Gen, like what the windows are made of.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fun. They act like they're inspectors coming to see, and they're like, oh, you weren't ready for us? Yeah. And the gag with the computer, I think, really works. Like, Scotty goes in front of the computer, and he's like, computer, look this up. Computer. And then the guy's like, oh, just use the keyboard. And then he picks up the mouse, and he starts like, talking into
computer.
It.
Computer.
That's fun because they're from the future, folks. And
that reminds me. So every time I see it, I'm reminded of that Homer Simpson gag where he's like, I think I'll order a tab. And he hits the tab button on the computer.
Yeah. Trump had something like that, you know, in the
Diet Coke button.
He had the Diet Coke button. Yeah. So Sulu has the least to do. He's got to like get a helicopter.
Yeah, he's got to get a Huey helicopter.
Apparently, like, there was more with him that got cut out. He looks like he flirts his way into it. Like, he starts talking to some guy who's, like, in the helicopter. He's like, hey, how are you? And they're just talking aviation.
Can I get a ride on this helicopter?
And then the next thing you know, he's got the helicopter. It's not very clear what happened.
No. Again, like, I think the next two movies, or specifically six, like, they do a make good with Sulu.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know what, buddy? We're giving you the short end for too long. We're giving you your own ship.
Right, but his own ship is on a... It's in a different... It's not in the movie. Like, supposedly, he was, like, mad at Shatner, and he was like, you don't want me to get my own ship. And Shatner was like, but the movie's on our ship.
Yeah.
And also, we're not really in the military. But, he's got the least to do. Chekov and Uhura. Because they can't figure. There's so many ticking clocks in this movie.
Yeah.
One of the ticking clocks is the ship has no power. We're cloaked.
We got to get radiation.
Right. We got to get radiation. So, and I don't know if this is true or not true or whatever, but apparently, like, naval ships at the time used nuclear power.
So they just, like, yeah, they basically
find a ship and steal it.
Kinda.
Right, and we'll use that to make the Klingon ship run. And so that's a ticking clock because they're also cloaked. They land
in the park, and they're
like,
cloaked.
They're like, if we in a few days we'll run out of power, we'll uncloak so everyone will see us and we won't be able to take off. So that's a ticking clock. There's kind of the ticking clock of what's going on in Earth in the future, although they do a clever thing of like they replay a moment twice. Like, you see, they're like, oh, they're trying to hear. Kirk's like, we're going to go and try to get a whale. And then the window explodes.
Yeah.
And then later on, you see the window exploding is them landing. Time travel. And then the other one is, oh, these whales you want? Well, they're going to go away tomorrow. There's just a lot of ticking clocks. This movie's just going.
And then there's, like, whale hunters.
Yes.
The interesting thing about this movie is, like, outside of the whale hunters who are, like, not like the big bad of this movie.
Yeah.
There really isn't a big bad in this movie.
Other than and by the way, other than when they get to the hospital, which is my favorite sequence, when Kirk locks the doctors in the room and he shoots the door, that's the only pew pew in the whole movie.
Yeah.
That's the only laser fired. So and then Kirk and Spock, their thing is they're gonna find the whale.
Right.
So they wouldn't you know it, where they land in San Francisco, there's a they call it like I forget what they call it, but it's like a museum.
Yeah, nautical museum.
Right. And Jillian works there, and she's played by Catherine Hicks from Seventh Heaven. Mm-hmm. And she's a marine biologist, but she'll do a tour as well.
Yeah.
You think she just does? You think she would just be doing the research, but hey, she's doing double duty sometimes. So they go on the tour, and she explains the whole sort of message of the movie, that whalers are killing whales, and you know, Spock says, like, it's illogical to
want to kill a whale.
It's illogical to hunt a species out of existence. And she says, like, what makes you think humans are logical?
Yeah.
There's a fun, and there's two whales, a boy and girl, and the names are George and Gracie, after George Burns and Gracie Allen, old comedians. And Spock, there's a funny bit where Spock jumps, like, they're still doing the tour, and she's in front of a tank, and it's just Kirk, and then you see Spock swimming in the tank, and he's like, he mind melds with Gracie.
Yeah.
And Jillian sees, and she's like, what the fuck? And she like runs up to yell at him, and then Kirk runs up too, and he's like, what are you doing? Answer her. So they figure, like, this, and Spock is like, well, you know, we have to ask them. We can't just kidnap them.
Yeah.
You know, we have to ask these creatures if they want to help us, which they do. We learn that the George and Gracie are going to be sent away tomorrow. There's a weird scene with Jillian and her boss, who's like, listen, they're not even humans. And it's like, work at the Whale Museum. Like, why is this your vibe?
Yeah.
Just so she could be like, fuck you.
I'm just in it for that whale money.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet, sweet whale merchandise. She's like heartbroken because she loves the whales, and when they go away, it's like the worst for her.
Yeah.
So,
what are we gonna do in this whale museum when they take the whales away?
I know, but you can't have humpbacks, I think, for that long in captivity.
Yeah.
Or maybe not at all. I mean, who knows what the science of this movie is true or not? But there's a bunch of gags. They in one shot, they get on a bus, and then you just see them get off the bus, and Spock's like, what does exact change mean? It's just a lot of stuff like that. A
lot of fish out of water stuff.
A lot of fish out of water stuff. Cold War humor, because obviously Chekhov has a Russian accent, so he's going around going, I'm looking for the nuclear vessels. Where are the nuclear? And everyone's like, what the fuck is this Russian guy asking for nukes for? Which is funny. Yeah, so here's the thing about this movie. And I like Catherine Hicks. I think she's very, very charming in this. She gets the tone. She makes the tone work. The movie kind of makes her a love interest for Kirk, but doesn't
go all the way with it.
Right, it doesn't really commit to it.
No.
Like, they go on kind of a date because she, for no, by the way, a lot of the things she does make no sense. She sees them, and she's just yelled at these guys and kicked them out. Because he went swimming with them. And she's like, hey, what are you guys doing? You need a ride?
Yeah, it's like, now that I know you're cool with the whales. Like,
right, right. So she's like, don't try any funny business. I'll give you a ride. And Spock keeps trying to curse because they have a funny bit where Kirk is like, you know, in the 20th century, you have to curse. You have to swear every other word or no one will listen to you. So Spock keeps like putting hell into weird places. Yeah. They're driving, and she's like, well, you know, Kirk has a joke. He was like a hippie in the 60s. I think he did too much LDS.
Yeah.
Instead of LSD. She's like, what did she say? You're not trying to use these whales to like as weapons or any dipshit like that. And Kirk's like, no dipshit, ma'am. It's straight comedy. It's just a straight comedy. And then Spock's like, you know, Gracie's pregnant. And she's like, well, how would you know that? And he's like, because she told me. Because he's no ability to play the part, play cool.
Yeah, he's just like, no, I read her mind. Come on, saw it.
So Kirk is like, you know what? Even though you hate me, but you just picked me up, let's drop him off in the park. And then you and me will go to a nice Italian dinner.
Yeah.
And they go on a little date, and it's charming. That's when, you know, he says he's from Iowa, which the character's from. And she says, like, let me guess, you're from space. And he's like, no, I just work in space. I'm from Iowa. And he kind of just gives it all up. He tells her the truth there. He's like, listen, this is what's up. They don't even, you know, they go to, the pizza comes and they're like, oh, we got to go now. Because she's like, oh, by the way, they're going to get rid of the whales tomorrow. And he's like, oh, no, we got to go now.
way. Don't do that.
She has to pay because he doesn't have money. Because, you know, money's beneath us. So Uhura and Chekov make it onto a ship, and Uhura beams out, but they don't have enough power in the ship, so they have to go one at a time. So after Uhura beams out, Chekov is arrested.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of funny bit. Like, he's interrogated. He doesn't know what he doesn't get what he's saying. He's like,
they think he's a Russian operative.
Right. They think he's a spy, right? He runs away. He like falls off the ship and dies, basically. Like, Uhura, I don't know how she got this communication. She's like, Captain, he's in this hospital, and we have to save him. We have to. He's gonna. They say he's not gonna make it. Yeah. So, and this is actually an interesting scene if you want to think of it as a trilogy, because this is what really ends that whole arc of one versus many. Kirk is like, we can't leave. Because we're one man down.
Yeah.
And then Spock is like, we got to go get Chekov. And he's like, Spock, that's not logical. And he's like, yes, but it's the human thing to do.
Yeah.
So thematically,
it all kind of, through the
this
hospital.
Is the best sequence. Because this is Bones.
Wheeling him around.
This is Bones being great. This is Bones. This is making fun of our medicine. Like, Bones goes in and he's like, it's like a medieval times in here. There's an old lady. He's like, what are you sick with? And she's like, I've got kidney failure. I'm on dialysis. And he's like, dialysis? What is this, the Dark Ages? He gives her some magic pills. He's like, take these. And then later on you see her and all the doctors are like, oh, this is a miracle. How did she recover? And she's like, I feel great. And there's a lot of that fucking, they go into an operating room. They sneak into an operating room, you know, dressed in scrubs.
Like you do.
And the doctor is like gonna drill a hole in Chekhov's head.
Some serious shit.
He's gonna drill a hole in Chekhov's head to like release the pressure. And Bones is like, you don't drill a hole in his head. You gotta fix the artery. And that's when they lock him in the room and fucking, they lock the doctors in the room and he uses, you know, some beebity bobbity, gibbity goobity thing to save him. And yeah, I mean, it's just going at a clip at this point. They get all the stuff. They make the tank.
They get the whales. They go back to the ship.
Right. Well, although, actually, she goes to work, and she's like, Gracie and George aren't there. And the boss is like, yeah, we got rid of them in the middle of the night because we didn't want a media frenzy. And she's like, you got rid of them without telling me? And she slaps him. And then she's like, she immediately goes to Kirk because she's like, okay, he's the guy who's going to help me. She's like, she's outside the ship. She like hits the ship because it's cloaked. And she sees, like, Scotty on, like, looks like he's floating in midair, like, putting the tank into the ship. And she's screaming for Kirk. I love this. They beam her on board. And her reaction is great because it's how any real person react to being beamed. When she starts to feel like she's being beamed, she starts screaming. And then you just see her beam onto the ship and she's screaming.
Yeah.
Which is realistically how anyone would be if they were beamed. And now she's in the ship. It's all real, you know. He says, like, Alice, welcome to Wonderland. It's all fun and games. Now, they have to get the Gracie and George from the ocean. And there are whalers. Like, I know this movie's all about, like, the whalers are bad. But, like, they were released, like, 4 hours ago. Like, are you telling me, like, within minutes?
These whalers were lying in wait for these whales.
Yeah, exactly. Within minutes, they're in trouble. They beam them up. That's kind of a fun sequence because they're kind of like, we don't know if the ship can hold all this weight. And she's like, take me with you to the future. And he's like, I can't. You belong here. And she's like, oh, okay. And then when he beams up, she jumps on him. Shouldn't that meld him into one horrific creature? But she's like, surprise. And he's like,
I guess they're coming with us.
Yeah, he could have put her back outside, but he's like, you know what? You got gusto. Because she's the sci-fi stereotype of, like, the good scientist who has nothing else in her life.
Right.
Like, she just wants to be where these whales are. She don't care about the future. She don't care about going to the 23rd century.
No.
So they got everybody. Everybody's back. They beam the whales up, and now they're like, they got to go. They got to do it. They don't have the right calculations. And Bones is like, just guess. And Spock is like, guess. Throughout this whole movie, you see Spock sort of regaining his humanity a little bit. He tells Kirk, he's like, I made a guess. And he's like, Chris, that's wonderful. They get to the, they're near the Golden Gate Bridge, but not under it.
Right.
If IMDb is to be believed, the mayor of San Francisco was like, please don't do it under the bridge because we already have a problem with people jumping off the bridge. So if you like make it like the whales are there, people are going to want to jump off.
Jump off and see the whales.
I mean, that's the weird. I believe there's a documentary about this a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I say a few years, it could be as much as like 15 years because I'm old. But it's like one of the suicide like hotspots in the world.
They've got a big net under it now.
You know, when you watch a Full House, just think lots of people go there to murder themselves. Yeah,
but the whales are fine. They go to the court martial.
They kind of crash, and there's like a action sequence where like
they get in one last action scene.
Right, where Kirk is like got a, I guess the tank broke, so he has to swim down to open the hatch to let the whales out. And you know, obviously we all know that Shatner wears a hairpiece, but whatever he's got going on there works because. You can, like, while he's, and then obviously there's some stunt work, mm-hmm. but when it is him, you see his hair. So it's like, okay, there's hair.
That's
there.
Not bad.
Yeah. They come back to the court martial. Spock is like, I'm going to stand with them. And they're like, you're not accused. He's like, I'm going to stand with my crew. And then they just give him a slap on the hand. You could see why the Klingons are furious.
Yeah. Yeah. You're literally like, well, in classic Star Trek tradition, you fucked everything up.
But you saved the world twice.
So therefore, you're not an admiral anymore. You're still a captain.
Right. And we're going to give you exactly what you want, which is now you get to be the captain of the Enterprise again. The Enterprise.
Yeah.
Because they say
flagship
like,
spaceship. Right. Yeah, that's you now.
Right. They say like, well, you're going back onto ship duty as if it's like not the thing he wants more than anything in his life. And then there's a, you know, like they're in like a shuttle and they're like, oh, I wonder what ship it's going to be. And it's the ship. Yeah. And it's that's where they begin the suffix of like the A, B.
Yeah.
Right. Because then what letter is it in Next Gen?
It's Enterprise D.
D. Okay. So that's a cool synergy between the movie and then the show. Yeah. So Spock, we haven't really said Spock's dad is in this. As he was in the last
Sarek
one, too.
Sarek is in the beginning, like, finally advocating for his son. And
yeah, they actually, and at the end, they talk, and it really closes a storyline from the show when we first met him, because he's like, you know, son, when you first joined Starfleet, I was against it, which is the whole episode of the show where we meet him is about that. And he's like, but you know what? I've changed my mind. Yeah. And he's like, do you have anything you want to say to your mother? And he's like, tell mother I feel fine. So he gets the question now of feeling. We're back in good. Oh, Jillian gives Kirk the biggest brush off in history. She's like, first of all, we see her at the court martial. She's wearing space outfits, mm-hmm. so she's acclimated.
Yeah, she's there.
He's like, where are you going? And she's like, I got to go to my ship. I'm going on this other ship. I've got 300 years to catch up on science. And he's like, but when will I see you again? And then she's like
oh.
She hugs him and gives him a peck on the cheek and goes, don't worry, I'll find you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a brush off.
Give him the old, oh, you sweet summer child.
Like, yeah. This was never going to happen.
I like to think he just gave her a post. It's like, oh, you're behind the times by 300 years.
But she does know a lot about whales, which now there are whales.
Yeah.
So she knows a lot about this new thing.
So now they got a whole new whale division.
Right.
Starfleet Whale Corp.
Here's a question. Instead of going and getting two whales, first of all, this movie's so fun. You shouldn't pick at it, but if you could pick at it, there's a lot there.
Couldn't they just, I think I know what you're going to say. Couldn't they just have gotten recordings of whales?
Couldn't they have gotten recordings of whales? For sure. But if you say, okay, well, maybe the whale won't be answering the question.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Why, first of all, why get into this business with this woman and trying to convince her? There are whales out there. Go and get two from the ocean.
Right.
Like, why are they dead set on getting these two whales? Because Kirk finds this woman hot. And then, like, instead of getting them and then jumping to the future with the two whales, like, why not go back further and, like, make sure whaling doesn't happen? Or, like, go a little bit in the future, right, and, like, add the whale somewhere so there's breeding, so when they go back to 23rd century, there's more whales. Like, you're just taking the only two whales, and one is pregnant, sure. So you're taking the only two whales, the Adam and Eve of whales, which goes into the Genesis thing, right, thematically.
But theoretically now,
yeah,
you're creating a timeline where whales existed throughout history.
Yeah.
In theory, there's no whales for like 300 years.
Yeah.
And now whales magically appear out of nowhere.
Right, right.
Good job, everybody.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it. You fucked with time a lot. You gave this fucking guy at the fucking plexiglass factory the ability to fuck, and with the promise of riches. They're like,
right, like, you're gonna make a lot of money with this.
This is really gonna change. And he's like, oh, you know, like, his secretary comes in and he's like, not now, Margaret.
Yeah, so who knows how that, like, what that guy becomes the next, like, Elon Musk.
Yeah, like they could have come back to the future and that guy's, like, the head of everything. Like, that actually
does happen. Again, not to bring up Star Trek Voyager again, but that happens in Voyager, where there's a two-parter where they have to, kind of like in this movie, they go back to 1996.
Wouldn't you know it?
And basically because, like, in the opening of the episode, a Starfleet ship from the future, like, comes out of a wormhole and is like, we have to destroy you to save history. And they're like, can you give us more info? No, we got to kill you right now. And they're like, no, we're not letting that happen. And they stop it. And, like, they slings them back into, like, the 90s. Uh-huh. And then when they figure out what's going on, basically it's another bootstrap paradox where,
okay,
them sending that future Starfleet ship back in time, that dude landed in the 60s. Some fucking big shot corporate guy,
yeah,
found the ship, used all the technology to slowly over time basically create the internet.
Uh-huh.
Like, the internet's created because of a temporal paradox in the Star Trek universe.
Sure, sure, of course.
And, like, he's basically just like, every couple years he'll just, like, take a new thing from the future and, like, release it as his own. And, like, they gotta stop him from, like, continuing to do that.
You think that's what Elon Musk is doing? No, because Elon Musk doesn't produce or do anything, really.
Right. Like, he's not coming up with any.
He just buys things and then ruins them. Well, wasn't there... There's an episode in season one of Strange New Worlds that has a bootstrap paradox, right? Isn't it like there's a planet that's going to be destroyed by a meteor and like, they're like, oh, like, our religion says you can't touch the meteor. The meteor will do what it does. So if it kills us, that's the way. And he's like, but you're all going to die. And they're like, well, that's our religion. We believe in it.
I don't know if it was a bootstrap paradox, more that, like, they were just, they saved them. And then they kind of, it's convinced, like, oh, this is what our gods wanted.
It's something like that. But, like, I'm missing an element of it. There's some element of, oh, it was always going to be that.
Yeah.
Like basically, them intervening was part of the history,
right,
that was always supposed to be there.
Just, if you're not watching Strange New Worlds,
what, like, are you
just
doing?
Yeah, come on. It's so much fun. Like, I was telling you last week that it really, the sort of angle they're taking with Star Trek on this show is very much still, like, very smart writing, like, crisp writing.
Yeah.
But stylistically, tonally, very, like, live action 70s Saturday morning.
It's
cartoon.
A lot of fun. It's not super serious, which is what I love about it.
Big bright colors, big action.
Now in season two, you got Carol Kane doing a Carol Kane impression. She's Carol Kaning so hard.
Oh, she's like, Carol Kane.
She plays like an immortal fucking.
Which is whatever. What you want, Carol. You want Carol Kane to be immortal.
Yeah, fantastic. Fucking why not? But, you know, I gotta say, in general, I like that Star Trek cares so much less about canon than Star Wars does.
Yeah.
Star Wars so bends over its own asshole for canon.
Like, and that this, and that puts you in a box when you do that.
Right. Like, it's the Obi-Wan story is like...
It's like, whoa, we got to have a scene where this person does this and that. It's like...
Right, you got to have a scene basically at the end where Obi-Wan says to little Leia, by the way, if you ever see me again, pretend like you don't know me. Like, fuck off. Right. Like, just tell the story you want to tell. Who gives a fuck? But Star Trek is like, yeah, whatever story you want to tell.
Yeah.
Let's see. What did you think of the two... The gags start immediately when they land. There's two garbage men.
Yeah.
Such, again, I feel like that's an 80s trope too. The two wisecracking garbage men. Yeah. And they're talking about their wives. And he's like, ah, I told her I ain't going to pay 40 bucks. I ain't going to pay 40 bucks for... These guys should have been played by like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. They weren't. He's like, I'm not going to pay more 40 bucks for a toaster. He's like, is that what you told her? And then like the ship lands and you see it like, crush into the ground. It's a cool effect because it's cloaked and invisible, and the ship, the door opens, and like it looks like aliens from another world. So what do these two guys do? They're like, ah, let's get out of here. I didn't see nothing. You didn't see nothing.
Yeah, they're even gonna say that. I'm like, oh, I gotta lay off the hooch.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Like in Superman.
I've been drinking too much lately.
But he's like, I saw a flying man in a red cape, and he's like, you know what? Going down to Chancey's bar. I'll meet you there. Go have another drink. Because drinking makes you imagine Superman's. It's a lot. They fuck with history so much. It's fine. I mean, that's breaking the Prime Directive too, right?
Yeah.
Because the Earth again, the past they save is the a day. Pre-warp. Right.
So when you save the day, you can do what you want.
That's, see, kids, if there's a lesson to take from Star Trek, is that you can break any rule you want as long as you do it with swagger.
Even in the new episode of Stranger Worlds, like, they do bring it back around and do a big reveal at the end that, like, saves the day, but before that point, you do think that she's gonna get off the trial by, like, oh, she's so good at like being a Starfleet officer that like you can't come on, you're gonna imprison her, like,
right. Yeah, it's a damn good episode. What did you think about the end when they all play splashy splashy? At the end, when they let the whales out, they're like, the first of all, the whale immediately speaks to the fucking probe. Yeah. The whale, and this is a real thing whales do, the whale puts its nose down like it's upside down, kind of, and that's how they sing. And then the probe does the same thing. It, like, makes itself upside down. So it immediately answers, and I do like that there's no subtitle. Like, whatever the fucking it leaves.
Yeah.
But now they're like, yeah, we're hanging out under the Golden Gate Bridge, and fucking Kirk throws Spock in, everyone's hanging out in the pool. Everyone's playing splashy splashy. We're having a good time.
Where are these dead bodies over here?
I don't know if you read this. There was a scene where Sulu was supposed to like meet his grandfather as a kid.
I heard that. Boy, I don't know how I feel about that.
Stuff like that is always the worst. I've been, as everyone who listens to the podcast knows, I've been watching every Godzilla movie. Mm-hmm. And in the Heisei era, there's, I don't know if you've ever seen, which one is it? They all meld together. I think the second one in the Heisei era, it's the one where they go back in time and like you see Godzilla was a regular T-Rex.
Yeah.
And you see like American soldiers and like they see a spaceship land and then you see like an American soldier and the captain of his ship and the soldier's like, wow, did you see that? And the captain's like, yeah, you'll want to tell your son about that, Officer Spielberg. but also imagine the worst acting ever.
Yeah.
So it's like, you get it? Do you guys get it?
It's like every third episode of Quantum Leap would have to have a scene where it's like, a kid at a bus stop is dancing. Someone flips him a coin. It's like, ah, you're good, kid. You're going to go far. It's like, what's your name? Michael Jackson? It's
like, I'm Joe Jackson.
I'm Joe Jackson.
I got a lot of dreams. I'm going to make my kids do them. I have a statistic here for you. Yeah.
Of how many people died under the Golden Gate Bridge.
No. I will look that up though if you want. On the tour in the movie, she says there are only around 10,000 humpback whales left on Earth. Mm-hmm. Currently, right now, today, there are around 84,000.
Okay, so they did it.
But they're still considered endangered at that number.
Right.
But fuck, we did it. Leonard Nimoy did it. So what's coming up next? Part 5. I've only seen Part 5, I think, once as a kid. This is the one I remember it not being good, but I don't remember what it is, really.
Yeah, this was the one with Cybok.
Oh, like Spock's brother we never heard of?
We've never heard of until this movie.
Yeah. Doesn't Spock have like an adopted twin sister in like...
In Star Trek Discovery? Adopted sister.
Yeah. Not twin. I don't know why I said twin. Adopted sister.
Yeah. That's Michael Burnham, who's the main character in Discovery.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's the one where they meet God, right? Isn't that like the idea? It's
yeah.
God.
Like, what does God need of a starship?
Right. And it's called... What is it called? Final Frontier.
Final Frontier.
Yeah. In this movie, there's a cool scene early on between Bones and Spock where Bones is like, you died and came back. Can you tell me what it was like? And Spock is like, I cannot because you have no frame of reference. And he's like, what do you mean? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you went where no man went before. I thought it was clever to use that line that way. You know, I love me some Bones. I could have a whole movie just Bones running around that hospital.
Oh, that was...
What do you got, a broken leg? Zip, now you don't.
Yeah, now you don't. What, continuity? Whatever.
But you know what I think it is? I'm a hypochondriac, so I think I'm very much delighted by the idea, the sci-fi idea, that we will get to a point where we don't need invasive surgery,
where there is
medicine that just...
Fucking hypo spray and like,
right, and you're good, right? And you know, like, because whenever, like, there's no surgery in Star Trek, nothing's internal, so they'll be like, what are you, butchers? Put your butcher knife away. This sounds like the Spanish Inquisition. He basically says the same line three times. He's like, what is this, the medieval times? What is this, the Spanish Inquisition? Like, we get it. It sucks to be alive now. Let's see. Is there anything else we have not covered? Kirk gets called a dumbass. He says double dumbass to you. I think we basically got it.
Yeah.
So the next one is 5. That's going to be
it'll be interesting.
Who knows? I might love it. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. I remember kind of liking it as a kid because me and my dad watched them all. My dad showed them all to me. Mm-hmm. And my dad wanted to skip 5. And I was like, we can't skip 5. What do you mean skip 5? And he's like, believe me, we'll skip 5.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to see 5. So I rented 5. And I was like, I like it. And I was like, okay. If you like it, it's
like,
fun.
Okay, loser. Like,
5 is, I don't want to tip the episode because we'll eventually do it. But 5 is where there's an extended scene of 3 old men singing Row Your Boat.
Yes, I believe so.
So look forward to that.
Yeah.
This has been PCMC. We're approaching our 300th episode.
Oh.
It's gonna be a fun one. Vin's gonna be there.
I'm gonna be there. We're gonna review Zack Snyder's 300.
Can you imagine? No, we're not gonna do that. Bring your binoculars because all the stars are gonna be out that night.
Yeah, who's the big guest star that you gotta?
No guest stars, but a lot of your favorite contributors together, all having fun. This is BCMC. We come out every Wednesday for all time. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.